Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Life can be chaotic. If you're running a retail business, don't let disorganized order fulfillment add to the chaos. Use ShipStation instead. With ShipStation, you never have to worry about shipping and fulfillment again. Whether you're running a business out of your garage or you have multiple warehouses, ShipStation is ideal for every phase of your business's growth. Save time with one login for all your stores and by automating repetitive tasks. Plus, you'll save money with the best shipping rates from global carriers. ShipStation's industry-leading features help you deliver a better customer experience. They'll get accurate and faster shipments, along with automated tracking updates with your branding. And with up to 88% off UPS and USPS rates, and up to 90% off FedEx rates, ShipStation is the fastest and most affordable way to ship. Calm the chaos. Switch to ShipStation today. Start a free trial at ShipStation.com/audio. That's ShipStation.com/audio.
Bedrosian throws to Sandberg, and the pitch is grounded to second base. Thompson has it, throws to first. It's over! 27 years of waiting have come to an end. The Giants have won the pennant.
To quote a Brad Evans tweet, the San Francisco Giants are not, in fact, the San Francisco Giants. They are the San Fraud-cisco Giants.
So frustrating. We thought we were going to be battling this time of year, right?
I mean, yeah.
Yay.
Absolutely. You know, the thing about it, and I guess, you know, if we were to look back, and I think we have done a very good job about being positive about the positive things and negative about the negative things. I mean, you can go back, and the thing that we were hammering all season long was, okay, great starting pitching. Hopefully it comes around. It's not necessarily a done deal. Like, guys have to come back from injury. It's not, you know, we're not this consistent machine, but we continue to harp on, they needed, even with Ramos coming in and just playing great baseball, they needed another bat, and they never got that bat.
Right.
And now, you know, we're looking at this season that is pretty much lost. And I last looked at the standings here. So the San Diego Padres are the first in first place in the wild card, and they are 79-61. The Giants are 68-71. So 7.5 games behind the Braves, who are the third wild card, over 10 games behind the Padres. So they have officially waved the white flag on the season and on making a run for this. And I think, you know, not that it's good. Like you said, we thought we were going to be playing some postseason or at least some wild card baseball here, and it didn't happen, but it happened for all of the reasons that I feel like we and other really smart Giants fans have been talking about. Like, they built a team that was predicated on so many things happening correctly, and not all of those things happened correctly.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And that's the whole problem with the season is it kind of felt like there wasn't that big piece that could pick you up. There wasn't that big piece that could hit, you know, 40 home runs and bail you out. You know, we thought Blake Snell was going to be that big piece, but, you know, started off slow, signed late, missed multiple starts, just kind of things fell apart for him early.
Player of the month or pitcher of the month, Blake Snell.
Pitcher of the month now, but early on, I mean, it kind of felt like House of Cards, right? I mean, this team has always built on House of Cards the last few years, where, you know, everything has to line up. 2021, yeah. Everything lined up. The yeah. veterans played fantastic. Everything lined up. We thought maybe we could replicate that. Maybe there's a formula. Maybe there's an idea that Farhan and the crew have. And, you know, I admit now, maybe I put a little too much faith in the system. The system at this moment feels like a used car lot almost. It kind of feels like you go in, they pitch you on everything that's great about this car and everything that's fantastic about this car. Maybe 6 years ago, that was great. This car is now old. This car is broken down. Things are falling apart. And so you have to put new parts on the car. And those new parts are the kids from AAA, the kids from, I mean, literally AA last year, single A last year, even. So you had a lot, you know, like you said, a lot had to line up and it just didn't. Again, as a Giants fan, as a baseball fan, as, you know, a fan of building things, of dynasties, of you and I have been playing these games for years, out of the park baseball, college football. We like to build. So yeah. we see this offseason as, okay, here's another chance to put some pieces together and kind of see how it goes. I'm excited for the offseason. I'm always excited for almost every offseason. So I'm excited to see what they can do. Is if it's going to be a bit of the same where you're just going out and getting, you know, veterans for a 1 year deal, a 1 year prove it deal, then we're going to have some problems. But if you're, you know, right now we're letting the kids play, let the kids play, right? So, and I ran numbers on the kids the last 3 weeks, and the next month isn't going to be a hoot, but it's, you know, it's going to kind of show us what we've got. And it's going to, I mean, it's valuable. They could all finish hitting what they're hitting now,
yeah.
But it's going to be valuable experience of seeing big league fastballs, curveballs.
Well, I mean, we'll see if they get enough at bats. That's the thing I'm a little bit worried about, but yeah we're going to talk. We'll talk about all of the kids and we'll go one by one of the folks who are up now and what we want to see from them. And some of this is coaching staff too. Like I saw Bob Melvin's quote. He's like, yeah, Matos is up. Not sure we're going to find ABs for him. I'm like, as if Conforto needs all these reps. Like
that's, I mean, are they getting Conforto the ABs out of good faith to say you're a free agent next year? I mean, and maybe he's, you know, technically auditioning for the left field spot for the Giants for next year. I can't see that happening because
no thanks.
I mean, yeah, no thanks. It's Jung-Hoo Lee comes back. Ramos is going to be in left field. And Yaz is already under, you know, technically contract. He's still on arbitration. So, yeah, I mean, the outfield is stacked. And you've got Matos as a fourth outfielder. You've got McCray as a possible fourth outfielder. You've got Fitzgerald could also be an outfielder. I mean, you've got a lot of parts in the outfield. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. When the guys were put on waivers the other day, Taylor Rogers, Tyro, and I'm trying to remember who else, Conforto wasn't on that list. Mm-hmm. And I'm not 100% sure why that's the case. Because another team could use him, you know, in the playoff stretch and the Giants could open up the spot. So I guess I'm saying don't be shocked if in the next, you know, 24 to 48 hours Conforto is put on waivers, but man,
but who, like, I think, you know, with waivers, what we've seen is, and sometimes we don't even hear about these guys going through, like guys are put on waivers a lot, right. and sure. You know, nothing happens. So we don't see anything, but you know, to go back to Tyro, you know, that was a bit of a surprise, right? Tyro, he goes through what no one claims him. So they send him to Sacramento. And what does that say to Tyro? Like, oh, that this must be our goodbye because there's nothing for me here. They don't value me the same way that, you know, they did maybe last year or the year before. And you continued to harp on the fact that, like, look, even if he's hitting poorly, he's still really good defensively. The problem is when you have too many of those guys, you know, it doesn't help. If you had one and you had a bunch of bangers, then you're fine. But when you have a bunch of guys who play great defense but can't hit, then you're stuck with the terrible offense that they have. So that was sad to see because, I mean, this is essentially us saying goodbye to Tyro. I don't imagine he's on this baseball team next year. I hope he can find a landing spot. You know, he's at that weird age of, like, I guess he would be in his late 20s. And, you know, he's got to produce at that level because teams are not going to pay a lot of money for that, or they're going to take flyers on that type of player. Some of the other transactions that happened over the last week since the last time we recorded, and we are recording a couple of days late because of the holiday, and yesterday we also had our fantasy football draft, so we
things happen, man.
also just a little bit of scheduling updates for this network. You and I will be back next Tuesday because the 49ers play the Jets on Monday Night Football, and I will be recording with Rod after that game for We Want Winners. Also, Rod and I will be back Sunday evening after all of the afternoon games to kind of recap the day in the NFL and also do a little bit of preview for the 49ers. And then you and I will go on Tuesday, and then Brian is back from vacation. We'll see what his schedule is like upcoming for the death lineup, but we are looking to get back in the swing of things with that. And look, we are looking for some folks to join us and do a Valkyries podcast. The Golden State Valkyries are here next year, and we are looking for people who may want to talk about that. So if you are a podcaster yourself and you want to join the team, hit me up, gg@bspnmedia.com. Okay, let's get back to what we were talking about with the transactions. So also, since we last recorded, Robbie Ray and Jordan Hicks go on the DL. Robbie Ray pulled his hamstring. Jordan Hicks has shoulder inflammation. And then they recalled Mason Black. And then in September, they recalled Blake Sable. And then they sent Sable back out and they said, nope, you're only going to be here for 2 days. Tristan Beck got activated from the injured list. He has missed the whole season until now, so it was nice to see him get back. Casey Schmidt was up, and he got sent back to Sacramento when Matos and Luciano came up. So the team as it stands right now, and I want to go through some players, and I want to go through these players with the idea of what do you want to see from them for the rest of the season? What kind of information can we get with what are we about a month away from the end of the season or so?
Yeah. Or 20, we're down, I think, 26-ish games.
Yeah, 25 the 29th games. Is the last game of the season. That is the Cardinals. We thought maybe we were going to get a little bit of Crawford, but no, we are not.
You know what? I almost wonder if we're going to get a little bit of Crawford signed to, get one more AB, come out, make some plays at short. I'd love to see.
That would be fun. That'd be a lot of fun.
It's nice, but the spring training thing with Romo and they sign him and bring him in, and Pablo and sign him and bring him in.
Romo throwing 82 miles an hour.
Yeah, exactly. Getting lit up, and then, Kapler comes out and takes him out.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about some of these players. Kyle Harrison, he has not been as good of late. You know, he's had an up and down rookie year. I don't know that I expected his ERA to be as high as it is. He's 4.47 ERA. The home runs have been aplenty of late. But he also has thrown the most innings in his career. He's at 159 innings right now. Young player who the Giants have a lot invested in. I think they believe that he is going to be someone that they can rely on heading into next year and many years later. What do you want to see from cool Kyle Harrison for the rest of this year?
Man, I you know what? I want to see him command the fastball better. I want to see, I want to see him last longer in games, but of course, obviously that's not going to happen this late in the season. But just better command at this point, keep the ball in the yard. I know that's really hard to do with this fastball that rises. And he likes to keep things up in the zone with the three-quarter delivery. But yeah, I think I'd like to see some more strikeouts and better command with the fastball from Kyle.
You've seen all the stories about the loss of velocity. He's down to like 91, 92. Should they just shut him down? You kind of wonder, like, is it arm fatigue? I've seen him with some comments saying that it's actually good for him to continue to throw the innings because it builds up the arm strength to last a season, and then it'll be good for him heading into next season. I would just look at the arm fatigue and go, you know, he's probably a little tired. We're out of it. Yeah. Can we shut him down? And I guess I don't know who would throw the rest of those.
We're kind of running out of starters at this point. But yeah, I would say, I mean, a pitcher knows his arm better than anybody else. So if he says it's good for him, let him go. Let him pitch the innings. Maybe don't stretch him out as long. I said, I'd like to see him go longer. But that's next season, the beginning of next season. But, I mean, you know, have him be a three-inning opener, three, four innings. Have him days that he would normally throw side bullpen sessions. Have him go out on those days. You know, just kind of keep sharp, keep fresh, and have them see what it's like. And hey, you're pitching September 26th. This is what it's like to have to throw this late in the season. And then whatever program he has in the off season, I mean, he's just going to build and build and build. He's going to be, you know, a starter for a very long time. So you don't need to push him so hard this time. But if he wants to throw, hey, you know, find some sort of compromise and limited sessions that he could do on the mound.
Another young starter, right-hander Hayden Birdsong. I'm not sure we even thought we would see him this year.
Yeah,
and he was necessary. He has looked great in some scenarios and then looked really poor in others. He does have 60 strikeouts in 49 innings up at the big league level, 5.14 ERA, and I'm trying to see if I can look at his minor league innings. I don't have access to that on what I'm looking at right now. But would you like to see Hayden throw more the rest of the season here?
I think with him, I'd like to see him on the same track as Kyle Harrison to kind of limit the innings. Excuse me. We have enough guys, you know, enough starters who haven't gone this many innings ever in a season. So I think at this point, I'm fine with seeing those guys be kind of like modified openers. Look, the Giants, I mean, we're not fighting for a playoff spot necessarily at this point. You know, things happen, not technically out of it yet. The Colorado Rockies were actually eliminated yesterday. so there's that. I think the Tigers were eliminated a long time ago. The White Sox. I meant the White Sox. Yeah. Same team. So, yeah, I think I'd like to see, I'd pretty much like to see that from any of our young starters. They go out and throw three innings, get your, you know, 50, 60 innings pitched or 60 pitches thrown in a start and then just kind of go from there. I mean, we have a tired bullpen, but again, now you've got Landon Roop up, you've got Austin Warren, you've got, you know, Bivens. So you've got guys like that who can go two or three innings, and Sean Jelly. So kind of mix and match, I would say, with the young guys like Harrison and Birdsong from here on out. I don't want to see Wizenhunt up at this point.
Yeah.
No reason to start the clock there. Honestly, I think we might have possibly seen him had the Giants been in the thick of it. I mean, if they were two games back right now, with all the injuries starting to happen to the pitching staff, you kind of have to weigh, do we start the clock on Wizenhunt, bring him up, let him throw some innings? But again, that's another guy who hasn't thrown that many innings over the years. So now all of a sudden he's throwing meaningful games in September, and then possibly late September. So yeah, that could have been rough.
Not that this player is necessarily young. He is young in the role that he is in right now. That person is Ryan Walker. This is only his second big league season, and he is, you look at his numbers are pretty lights out, pretty fantastic. 1.92 ERA. He's got five saves. He's struck out 92 batters in 70.1 innings, 0.87 whip. And, I guess the question, I'll change it a little bit. Do you think he can handle this job next year, or do you think he is better set up as a right-handed eighth inning guy?
You know what? I would like to see him fight for the closer role in spring, between him and Camilo. If the Giants don't move Camilo in the offseason, if they think, I would say if the Giants think they've got Ryan Walker locked in the closer role going forward, I wouldn't be surprised to see Camilo moved. He's a young guy, though, who throws hard, under control. Speaking of control, under contract control, but not necessarily under control on the mound. But since he's come back up, he's been impressive. He still has that kind of ho-hum attitude on the mound that I personally, if I was a manager and I needed to send a guy out there in a key situation, I'd be freaked out, man. And that's just me.
They tried to use it early in his career as a positive, you know, they'd call him Tranquilo, which means just calm demeanor, but that's kind of the opposite of guys of the past, like Rob Nen, Brian Wilson, who were just so fiery and focused and kind of just intense, and that's kind of what we saw. You know, Walker's a little fiery. I saw a little bit of a celebration the other night, but I don't know. I don't know if he is the guy or not. It's kind of one of those things where, is this a 1 year wonder kind of thing, or is he really building up his resume in his late 20s as he's figured it all out? Like, that's going to be something that they're going to need to figure out. Also, the thing I worry about Camilo is, has this organization just exhausted themselves with him? You know, can you get through to him? Right. Like that's about managing and coaching is this player even listening to you? Or does he just believe like, I've had it, you know, I get mixed messages, or they're picking on me, or how can I make the All-Star team 1 year? And then it's all praise. And the next year I struggle and they send me down. Like, he has legitimate gripes, as do some of these minor leaguers, about, you know, just how you get handled. And now I will say, baseball more than ever, because of how platoons work and how all of these teams are technically kind of in it. And, you know, unless you're really bad with this third wild card, I would imagine it's gotten worse to that level with some young players where they feel like they're getting kind of bounced around. I haven't really looked to see how other teams are handling their young players, but Luciano and Matos, I mean, if they were upset at how they were handled as prospects, especially Luciano, I would completely understand. like if you think about who Bob Melvin is, and we've kind of had a lot of fun with him, just his demeanor. He's so old school, but does work well with Farhan and Farhan's, you know, analytical side. But that doesn't mean that they are great people managers for these young players, and also young players who their first language is not English, right? So these are different. The communication styles, you know, are they the right communicators for these guys? And who's going to be more valuable to this franchise for the next two or three years, Luciano or Bob Melvin? It's probably going to be Luciano. And if he fails, that is going to be a giant black eye on the Farhan regime, because he seemed like he was, you know, he was can't miss. And now we're seeing him, they're playing him at second base, and he just looks like he's just mentally checked out. He can't even feel the ground ball.
Right. So.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
I mean, that you kind of hit the nail on the head there too, because we talked about this last night. So to tell everybody how much we love the Giants, we're doing our fantasy football draft last night, and we're talking San Francisco Giants because that's what we do.
Yeah.
So as we're doing our draft and we're talking about the Giants, we're discussing the fact that was Joey Bart moved too soon?
Yeah.
Obviously, hindsight, you can look at the numbers right now and you can go, oh yeah, he was moved too soon. Look at what he's doing in Pittsburgh. But I think what happened is I think the Giants exhausted their run with him, and it started during the pandemic. It was just not an ideal situation, right? You draft Joey Bart, then what do you do the next year? Or I think it's the year after. You draft Patrick Bailey. Now you've got two first-round catchers, high first-round pick catchers as well.
And Posey retires, like, as a surprise in a sense. So you have to rush Bart.
Comes back in 21, and then all of a sudden in 22, he's like, yep, I'm done. That was great. Had fun. Went to the playoffs, played the Dodgers, and calling it a career. So, but the fact that he opted out of the 2020 season forced Bart to come up when he wasn't ready, because the Giants were like, we have to play a 60-game season, and we need players. Free agency is over. It had been over for a while at that point, and they had nothing else that they could do. You're not going to make a trade in the middle of a pandemic season to get a catcher, because you know Buster Posey is coming back the next season. So I mean, there were just so many things that forced Joey Bart into a situation at the beginning of his career that just kind of set things up for failure. So yes, you go to Pittsburgh, you get a fresh start. You start looking around and saying, okay, new coaches, new look, new city. These fans don't really know who I am, so I can go out there and just be myself. I'm no longer a high draft pick because I have been traded, not for Juan Soto, but I traded, you know, for just random players. It's
who
my
did
job
they get from it. I don't even remember.
I don't even remember. What's not. I guarantee you, whoever it was is not on this team right now. Not in AAA, but I'll have to look that up in a minute. But so I think, you know, the situation with Camilo Duvall too. Yeah, are they getting there? Are they getting there with Luciano to the point where, you know, things weren't handled right? I mean, look, Grant McRae, good situation comes up. you know, makes a splash. He's young. It's not quite his time yet, but they didn't have to force him into a situation to play. They said, hey, you're doing great in AAA. Let's bring you up. We need another outfielder. Matos had his run. Let's see what you can do. More tryouts, you know, come on up, try out. Let's see what you got. Get a taste of the bigs. And then you get, and part of it too, could be like you get a taste of the bigs. You get hungry. You go back down to AAA. You work harder and you become a better player and you come back up. Is that a good sports psychology method? I don't know. I mean, I'm not a sports psychologist, but that sounds rough.
It's great that you brought that point up because that's the stuff that we don't see. We don't see the right day in and day out in the clubhouse, how these guys are dealing with certain situations. Because what we wanted Patrick Bailey to play against righties and yes, Joey Bart to play against lefties. That's what we thought was like the opportune 100% way to handle this. But at the same time, like you said, the sports psychologist piece of it, how would Joey Bart have dealt with that? Here's a guy who's right behind you in the ranking of who's going to take and then he takes his job essentially. And so yeah, is Joey Bart going to deal with that correctly? Is he going to be able to handle that? Is he going to be able to take the opportunity of and say, well, you know what? I'm on the big league roster and I can, you know, Patrick and I can handle this thing and we're going to do a great job. Or is he like, no, I want my own pitching staff. I don't want to yeah, be like compared to this guy constantly, you know, day in and day out. Oh, Patrick Bailey's, you know, caught stealing percentage versus Joey Bart's caught stealing percentage, you know, Patrick Bailey's home run, you know, percentage or, you know, whatever. So I get it. I would have loved to see it though, because you hate giving up on somebody like Bart.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But maybe you're right in that change of scenery did help him, and he's, you know, he's producing. He's having a decent season. They're not a good team either, but you know,
right,
he's got an opportunity to hopefully fulfill what he probably thought was going to be, you know, a really really good career. So I you know, obviously we root for that guy.
Oh yeah, and he's been on the IL since. Oh, 26th of August. So he really hasn't done, you know, he hasn't had any at bats since then. But on the season with Pittsburgh, he's hitting .272. He's walked 18 times in 219 plate appearances. 55 strikeouts, not an astronomical number, but his OPS plus is 132.
There you go.
Got eight doubles and 12 home runs. He's never been, you know, he's not a Patrick Bailey, where I think Patrick Bailey's a little more outspoken, you know, kind of Patrick Bailey's in the room. He makes his presence known.
A little bit more of a leader.
Yeah, he's got the headband. He's got, yeah. And then maybe the Giants saw that too and thought, well, Joey Bart is never going to lead this pitching staff. He'll do a serviceable job. But as a backup, I think maybe the Giants thought, you know, eventually we're going to have to pay both of these guys as high round draft picks, which doesn't, I mean, that doesn't play into things. It's still production when it comes down to it. So if you're not producing, you're not going to get paid. That's just the kind of way it is. It doesn't matter where you are, where you are drafted. So I don't know. And again, I'd hate to see the same thing happen to Camilo. I'd hate to see the same thing happen to Luciano, even though we were earlier in the season and even last season, when we were looking to get pieces, looking to get bats, we were thinking we can trade Camilo. I mean, mm-hmm, we can make the move and get Camilo out of here. I mean, I'm sorry. Well, Camilo this year, but Luciano last year, and we can get Luciano out of here and we can get ourselves a big bat because we have that. We have that leverage right now. But see, now, like what happened with Bart is he hit 200 at the beginning of the season, you know, and then what did he do last year with the Giants up? Actually, no, he didn't. He actually didn't play at the beginning of the season. He was on the roster with the Giants because they couldn't DFA him. And then
right, they had to trade him.
But then he was last year here at 207, 2022 hit 215, 2021 when Buster was the guy, he had two games, went 2 for 6. And then 2020, when he was thrusted into the role, 33, so basically 50% of the regular season games that year. And he hit .233. His OPS plus was never over 87 in any season until this year, where it's .132. So the value just wasn't there for the trade. But with Luciano, you could say, hey, he's a high draft pick. He has this massive potential, but then you bring him up and then teams get to see his glove.
Yeah. His trade value has plummeted, I imagine, over the last
few
years.
It drops significantly. But Camilo has the resume to be a good trade piece. So you have to look at him and say, I wouldn't be shocked if in the offseason they move Camilo to possibly, you know, help fortify the lineup and get a bat.
I can't imagine relievers have crazy trade value. He has a dynamic arm, absolutely, and I'm sure there's some team who's watching how the Giants handle him and go, we could figure this out. Like he just needs to, you know, come to a team that is better suited for his need or whatever. But then again, if you trade for Camilo, you're trading to buy low on him. You're not trading for him to buy high. So that would be interesting to what they could get for him. Another guy who throws really, really hard, though, because of the idea that he wants to be a starter, he's not throwing as hard. The Jordan Hicks experiment for the season. 4-7, .390 ERA. Now, the thing that I don't like, 108 innings pitched, only 95 strikeouts. I almost wonder if his opportunity to start actually makes him less valuable to the team. I like, imagine having the opportunity to have this guy come in like the sixth or the seventh inning and just throw 102 miles an hour. I feel like that is more valuable than what he does as a five and dive starter whose whole idea of pitching is just to get ground balls. Like, I don't understand it. Like, you know, either he can throw 100 miles an hour for 5 or 6 innings, or you just might as well put him in the bullpen and let him just let loose and be a strikeout pitcher. I don't know if I liked the experiment this year.
And I'm on the opposite side. I liked it because when you look at his numbers, right, the strikeouts weren't there, but the contact was soft. The ground balls that he got were fantastic. When he was pitching well, when he was fresh, beginning of the season. So I'm excited to see what he does next season, now that he's been stretched out. His walks per nine were only 3.8. Last year as a reliever, they were 3.0 in Toronto. But then in St. Louis, they were 5.2. Then the year before, 5.1. The year before, 9.0. 9. And then going back to his first season, 5.2. So when he throws hard, he just does not have the control. He gives up hits. He gives up home runs. Yes, he throws hard, but he's not a hard-throwing control guy. Mm-hmm. So that's why I like the dial down. The movement that you saw at the beginning of the season was wiffle ball-esque, and I was geeked. I mean, I was loving that. So I like the experiment, and I'm excited to see year two of the experiment.
Well, when you put it that way, I understand the experiment. It's just kind of one of those things, right? And we always make this joke about, you know, corporate wild thing from Major League 2. Like, sometimes you just want to see this guy let it go. I don't want to see the 93-mile-an-hour sinker on the outside corner all the time when we need a strikeout.
But he did. There were times he reared back and went 96, 97, which is great. I mean, if you're a starter and you can hit 96 or 97 every now and then when you need it. And he probably has learned a lot this season, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So going into the offseason, the program, the stretch out program, to get a little bit longer in your starts, get a little bit longer in the season, I'm excited because that's a spot on the rotation that's locked down. So you could look at it and you could say going into next season, right? Let's say Robbie Ray decides to not opt out. Okay. Then you've got Webb, Ray, Harrison, Birdsong, Hicks. You have your five-man rotation.
And I would imagine if that is the rotation, they probably try and bring in a starter 100%. And let Birdsong, you know, kind of hang out. And maybe it's also just protection for Harrison, Birdsong, you know, if one of those guys, you know, possibly gets hurt or something, you bring in like a veteran arm who can give you consistent innings.
I think so. And because, I mean, you know, I always talk about it. Farhan has always said that you need seven or eight starters.
Yeah.
Or even more to get through a season. So, sure.
Farhan thinks that they have the best seven or eight starter rotation in all of baseball?
There's a good possibility. Yes. Yeah, that's a. I was going to run the best rotation in baseball numbers again. I didn't want to do it again.
All right. There are other players who we could ask this question about. We'll save that for later. We'll probably have a segment. Do we want to see this player back next year? But this is more about the young guys. I'm only going to just quickly throw out Patrick Bailey. I think Patrick Bailey was hurt because of the fact that Tom Murphy did not play almost all year long.
Yeah.
So Patrick Bailey had to tack on more innings than they probably had designed for him. And when you don't have a solid backup catcher, then you have guys like Kurt Casale who are lifers. Like, we like Kurt Casale, but, you know, are you going to say, well, Kurt Casale against a lefty, he can't really hit anyways, no matter if it's left-handed or right-handed pitching. And then you add in the defense, and Patrick Bailey is clearly the better defensive player, even if he's only 60% of Patrick Bailey. And so I understand why he logged way more innings than he needed to. But at the same time, you would hope that you mentioned something earlier about, you know, Hicks learning a lot. I think Patrick Bailey also learned a lot this season about his body. Probably going to dial up the workouts next year to try and figure out how to sustain a little bit more, because the bat just falling off completely, I don't know if anybody could have seen that. Like, his second half numbers hitting the baseball makes him like the worst hitter in Major League Baseball.
Oh yeah. And I mean, like I said, I pulled the numbers from the last 3 weeks from the kids, and we can go over that in a little bit, but his were definitely the worst over the last 3 weeks. And, I mean, and again, going back to the All-Star break, it's sad to see, but you know, these things happen. And again, he's still young, still a lot of learning absolutely. To do.
And he's a cornerstone of the franchise. Like, he's going to be here for a while. And as long as he doesn't get hurt, as long as he continues to at least be, you know, slightly above average major league hitter, he's going to be behind the dish. He's just that good behind the plate.
Yeah. He still leads the entire major leagues in fielding run value. And he's a catcher. So there you have it. I mean, he should probably win, what is it, the Platinum Glove? That's the, you know, when they give out the Gold Glove Awards, that's the award to the best overall defensive player of all of the Gold Glove winners. So I can't imagine he's not going to win it. I mean, he's far above anybody else. Jacob Young, Dalton Varsho, they're, you know, Patrick Bailey's at 20 and Jacob Young and Dalton Varsho are at 16. That's a pretty darn good thing to have. Let's see, outs above average. He is. I don't think catchers really qualify so much for outs above average, because they're not, you know, this is like, you know, fantastic plays, right? Plays deep in the hole at shortstop. But Tyro Estrada is the top giant at outs above average defensively. We talked about him earlier. He's 30th in the league. And for a while there, he was the top second baseman. But since he missed so much time, let's see if he's still. Yeah, now he's behind Andrés Giménez, Marcus Semien, and Otto Lopez, who we actually had in our spring camp earlier. So
Otto. Yeah.
Otto Lopez.
All right, we talked about Luciano a little bit already, but just how do you want to see the Giants handle this last 3 weeks of 3.5 weeks of baseball? Do you want to see him get a lot of reps at second? Do you just want to see him in the lineup no matter what, which means DH and possibly, I don't know if they could even throw him at shortstop at this point. I almost feel like he's got to be in the lineup every single day. You need as much data as humanly possible about this guy and no excuses, no matter how much Bob Melvin's already graying hair gets even more gray. Luciano needs to be in the lineup. I really don't care about the platoons. I don't care about whose reps he's taking, whose position in the batting order he's taking. Yastrzemski hit his 100th home run. Awesome. I loved it. It was an awesome moment to see. But I don't care if he swings the bat one more time this entire year. We know what we have from him.
Yeah.
I want to see what we have from these guys that we're not sure about.
Well, he's in the lineup tonight. We're recording this on Wednesday. He's in the lineup tonight, playing second base. You're right. And not only, and we talked about this earlier, not only so the Giants can see what they have, but also so other scouts can see what Luciano has. Mm-hmm. And at that point, they can decide, hey, is he a good trade chip? Has his value risen? If they go out and, get a second baseman, say they get Willy Adames or who could play second and short, and they get a shortstop, and all of a sudden now they are shored up on the infield, and you've got Luciano, who's now your DH. Going forward, do you want that from a young kid? This guy's just your DH and that's all he is, or do you want to trade him and see what you can get for him?
Fitzy. Our guy Fitzy. You know what? I started thinking about, I said, where did I get the name Fitzy from? Not that it's like this creative nickname or anything. Do you remember football season is here, by the way, for those of you who don't follow. But Chris Berman, when he would do NFL primetime.
Oh, yeah.
Larry Fitzgerald was not Larry Fitzgerald. He was just Fitzy. So that's where I got Fitzy from. So every time I think of Tyler Fitzgerald, I just think of Chris Berman yelling Fitzy. So Tyler Fitzgerald, what a surprise this year. He only has 242 ABs this year. 14 jacks, 16 stolen bases. I don't imagine these are necessarily going to be his power numbers as his career grows. But Dave Fleming, he was on the Tim Kawakami podcast. I may have mentioned this last week, but he thinks that the Giants may go shortstop hunting to possibly find a shortstop who's a really good defender and who can hit a little bit, whether that's like a Willy Adames type or not. And the idea is that Fitzgerald may not be a tried and true shortstop in the big leagues, but he is talented enough to where he should be able to defend at second base at a pretty high level. And so that made me wonder, because I watch him at shortstop and I'm like, oh man, you have that up the middle, the idea of defense. You have the catcher who's like the best catcher, the best defensive catcher in the league. You kind of want a shortstop who leans high level defensively. And if Jung-Hoo Lee or Grant McRae, are that center fielder who we can just rely on defensively, they have not had great defense in center field this year just because Ramos is playing out of position, Yaz is playing out of position. I like the idea of grabbing a shortstop who's really good defensively and then moving Fitzgerald to second, because I think that's just going to help him more. He won't have to think about the defensive side of baseball as much. And he'll probably be a better offensive player because of it. Not that second base is easy. Second base, you're just running around like crazy. You're like everybody's cutoff man. But at the same time, you know, you're not the bullseye of the defense. Like shortstop is like Brandon Crawford. Like we watched Brandon Crawford play shortstop, you know, since he was a young man. And it was amazing and it was awesome. And I think that is something that this team, you know, when you think about the foundation of what this team is about, I do think shortstop, catcher, like you have that, you know, it's kind of like the Buster Posey, Brandon Crawford thing. You get, you have a great catcher. Let's shore up the middle of that defense. Let's move Fitzgerald to second because, you know, no matter what, no matter if I think the power numbers are a little inflated, that speed, he just makes stuff happen, which makes him maybe this year's like most exciting player on the team.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, just looking at the last 3 weeks, his numbers have dropped off, right? When he came up, he was kind of, and he went on that tear.
Home runs in like 8 games in a row or whatever.
Yeah, it was insane. But the last 3 weeks, he's hit .234 with 2 home runs, but 4 stolen bases. And that's, again, we talked about this, I don't know how many seasons in a row now. That's what this team has lacked. So when they got Jung-Hoo Lee, we go, oh, we got a little bit of speed. If you can get Jung-Hoo Lee, Grant McRae, and Tyler Fitzgerald in the lineup at the same time, you've gotten good defensively. You've gotten great defensively in the outfield, but you've gotten good defensively on the infield by moving, like you said, Fitzgerald to second. But the speed at the top of the lineup at that point, if you can go Jung-Hoo Lee, Grant McRae, and then, you know, from there, and then maybe bat Tyler Fitzgerald ninth, you know, because then it's kind of an old school St. Louis Cardinals lineup thinking where you've got speed at 1-2, speed at 9. So then if you get, you know, when you get to the bottom of the lineup and you go 8-9-1, all of a sudden you've got 2 speed guys, but you got to get on base. That's the point of it. The problem with the young guys, though, and they've got to all work this out, the average strikeout rate for batters last season was 22.8%, I think it was, close to 23%. We don't have any of the young kids, and we're talking here Schmidt, McRae, Ramos, Fitzy, Encarnacion, Luciano, or Bailey with strikeout rates below 30%.
Yeah, that's
rough. Over the last 3 weeks. So, and those come, I mean, we're, and what is that? I mean, that's pretty much 1 out of every 3 at-bats
you
strike out. And they're coming at inopportune moments.
Yeah.
Too. You got a runner at second, third with 1 out, and you just need to put the ball in play and you get a strikeout. Of all of those, who do you think is, I know who you're going to think, is the has the worst strikeout rate of those young guys over the last 3 weeks.
Okay, give me the names again.
Schmidt, McRae, Ramos, Fitz, Encarnacion, Luciano. Now, granted, Luciano's only had like 8 at-bats in the last 3 weeks, and then Bailey.
I love me some Casey Schmidt strikeouts, of course. I'm going to say McRae.
It has been. It has been McRae. And that shocked me because I was pretty sure it was going to be Encarnacion, but he's second. Grant McRae has struck out in the last 3 weeks 44% of the time. but again, you got to let the kids play, right?
He doesn't have a lot of at-bats. He doesn't have a lot of at-bats above double A for sure. The starting pitching that he's seeing has got to be like mesmerizing his brain right now. Just like
some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in / promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Well, and one of your kids talked about it the other day, right? They're like, you know, hey, Fitzy, and he's hitting home runs and this and that. And then you chimed in perfectly and said, hey, that's not the guy you want hitting home runs. Yeah. You want that guy to draw walks.
Yeah, you want him to get on base.
Singles or doubles, get on base, steal bases, create havoc on the base paths, not just go up and hit home runs, because if he does that, you're going to get a close to 45% strikeout rate, but you're going to get some great home runs. But this is the guy you want on base. And Encarnacion at 38% K rate.
I mean, so, you know, you were talking about us kind of hanging out in the fantasy football chat. Yeah. I did not even want to watch yesterday's game. I was like, I'm out. This is bad. The Diamondbacks, they're doing it again. You know, yeah, they're coming late. And then you guys talked me into turning the game on.
I talked myself into the game wasn't on. I was getting Apple alerts because I'm trying to concentrate on the draft. First time we ever did, just so everybody knows, and people have probably already done this, first time we ever did a super flex draft.
It was insane.
It was the hardest draft, but the most fun draft I've ever had, because there's a lot going on in a super flex draft, because you're like, do I get two quarterbacks early? I took two quarterbacks in the first two rounds. I did not plan on it, but my internet went down and I tried to draft from my phone, and I'm old man and can't see jack squat. So I'm looking at the phone and I'm not wearing my reading glasses, even though they're freaking sitting right here on my desk, I wasn't wearing them, and I'm looking at it, and I hit Anthony Richardson to scroll up, and it drafted him.
Oh,
but I'm okay, because I went back after the end of the night. I was feeling it. I'm like, this sucks, man, but my team looks good. And then I looked and I thought, if I would have drafted, there were no other position players I would have drafted. And I know I'm getting off the topic here, and then if I would have drafted a position player, I would have been like, yeah, it's not somebody I'm super excited about. Then if it would have come around to a quarterback in the third round, because I had the eighth pick out of 12 and we're doing a snake, I wasn't excited. I would have gotten Jared Goff, which I love Goff, but I would have had Mahomes and Goff. Now I have Mahomes and Richardson.
Yeah.
And I like the rest of my lineup, because then my first position player was Nico Collins, and I really enjoy that guy. It was Isaiah Pacheco. Pacheco and then Collins, and I like those guys, so I was pretty excited. So anyways,
so what happened
we convinced you to watch the game.
I turned the game on, and Encarnacion is up, whomever Arizona's closer is throwing 101 miles an hour, whoever that dude is.
Yeah.
And so Encarnacion goes up 2-0 in the count. And then he throws a slider towards the outside lower corner, and Encarnacion swings. And he obviously doesn't hit it. And I was like, okay, he's striking out, because you need to sit. I know that more pitchers are going to throw breaking stuff on 2-0 counts than ever, which to me means you have to be even more disciplined to look fastball.
Oh, yeah.
If they want to get me over slider, whatever, like, that's just, you know, sometimes you take that. But he swings at that pitch, and then I think it was maybe like a splitter or something to go 2-2. But I was like, okay, like, I know this dude is striking out, because you just said he has the second worst strikeout percentage out of all of those hitters. And I was like, there's no way he's touching this guy. Like, he's not, you know, he's not that guy. If he had taken 2-0, got to 3-0, forced the fastball count, then I'm like, okay, like, maybe we got some opportunity here. But when he swung 2-0 at a slider that was outside, I was like, okay, I've seen this already. This is the Jorge Soler playbook. We watched this for a half of a season, and it was a fun opportunity. So I was like, yep, this dude's striking out. Of course, he strikes out, game over. The Giants are back with the comeback that doesn't quite get there, and they lose. But anyways, so, a couple more guys before we get out of here. Elliot Ramos, I know that as the season gets longer and longer and longer, his numbers aren't as impressive. He's got 20 jacks. You know, if he was on that same streak, he'd probably be upwards in the mid to high 20s right now. But, you know, he has a lot of responsibility in that lineup. He's hitting in high in the order. He's hitting in the money spots of the order. He's had a really strong season. This is the longest that they've given him. And what Eliot Ramos gives me is hope that Marco Luciano is going to figure it out. I don't know about Matos. Yeah. Matos's swing is a little different, and I kind of worry a little bit about how much soft contact Matos makes, which doesn't really translate into, you know, lots of power. But Luciano, sometimes he's like late on a fastball, but he's so strong that he can still muscle it out into the, you know, into the outfield for hits. And just the fact that it took Ramos this long, and look, I don't know what the relationship is between these two guys. They're both former top prospects in the organization. They probably understand that situation better than anybody else on the roster right now. And if there's somebody out there on in this locker room, in this clubhouse, who can kind of empathize with Luciano and what he's going through, I think it's Ramos. Mm-hmm. I would just have like these two dudes just be locker room buddies, like put their lockers right next to each other.
Stick them in an apartment together in the off season.
Yeah, like like Ramos has shown, hey, you give this guy a chance and then you take it away, and then you give this guy a chance and take it away. Well, you were forced to give him the chance for a much longer time and he finally delivered. So is that more on you not giving him that chance, or is that more on him finally understanding? I don't know the answer to that, but it just tells me that Luciano, nobody should give up on this guy's bat. Now I watch this guy field ground balls and I'm just like, oh my gosh. But defensively, he may not be that guy. He may be a DH. He may be a corner outfielder, and maybe you can live with that. You know, teach him how to play right field or whatever. I think he's got a pretty good arm. You kind of have to have a good arm to play shortstop. So maybe he's just a right fielder, and hey, that's a great power position, right? To be a right fielder. So that's what Ramos gives me. Ramos should play every day. Maybe you give him a couple breaks if you see that he's just tired or whatever, but this guy deserves to go out there, hit three hole or wherever he's hitting, be the man, and you reward him for this great season, because it has been fantastic to watch him play baseball. Does he chase fastballs above his eyes too much? Sure. You know, can certain pitchers set him up? And I'm like, I know what's coming. I hope Ramos knows what's coming. Nope, he doesn't. Strike three. Sure. But he's still figuring this thing out. It has been a delight to watch him play baseball this year.
Yeah, 100%, and you're right on that. And he's kind of like, you know, the new Pablo. The kid loves to play baseball. He loves the game.
Always smiling.
I mean, you know, there's nothing better than the ball four bat flip.
Yeah, that's exactly. You know,
and I remember who said it the other day. I think maybe Fleming, maybe Pence. I think they were on the road, but he talked about one of them talked about there's different bat flips for different walk situations. Like was it a hard earned walk? Yeah. You're going to get a nice bat flip out of that one when he walks to first base. But I think with Luciano, I kind of feel obviously on the trajectory. And I only say this guy's name because we saw him earlier in the season. We know what he can do, but I kind of feel like at this point, Luciano would be more than happy if he became Jorge Soler. I'm not sure he can become an outfielder. I'm not sure he can, especially at Oracle. I'm not sure he can become a right fielder. Very tough place to play. He's not going to play center field. He's not going to play left field. So you're kind of stuck with him at, you know, in right field or a DH. So
maybe he's a first baseman, but then you have Bryce Eldridge coming up. We'll talk about Bryce Eldridge in upcoming episodes for sure.
We will. Absolutely. I mean, we probably have a whole off season on Bryce Eldridge because he is going to, I mean, we're talking, you know, the next coming of, it feels like the next coming of Will Clark here. I don't feel like I'm exaggerating from everything I've seen and all the numbers we've seen so far.
Putting that into the universe right there. Next coming of Will Clark. I love that.
There you go. But yeah, I mean, the Giants have a good young core, and I see, you know, Haruka Hitoki is talking about Matos, and I the one thing that I have a hard time grasping is a lot of people are grabbing on to that nice little 2 week run that Luis Matos had. He has not shown anything like that since. He's hitting .214 on the season, dramatically dropped off. I don't think it's because of the ups and downs. You look at his home runs, the majority of his home runs in the minors have come at high altitude ballparks. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I think like 90% of his home runs, and I'm not exaggerating, have come when Sacramento was here in Reno, and we're at 4,500 in the summer. The ball flies here. As a matter of fact, we're going to, this is the 775 area code. So they had a deal going for $7.75 seats the rest of the season.
There you go.
So yeah, the wife and I are taking the youngest and the youngest boyfriend, to an Aces game playing against the El Paso Chihuahuas, which is the San Diego Padres AAA team. So we're going Saturday night to that game for
there
kids.
You go.
I'll go to any minor league baseball game. Doesn't matter who's playing. But anyways, high altitude ball flies. And so when he gets up to San Francisco, and we've seen so far, he is a good, I wouldn't even say a triple A. What do we say? A quadruple A player sometimes when the guys, I don't even think he's there yet. I think he's still a triple A player. I think he's still a double A plus player. I think he's still kind of fighting to find out who he is. And I think he's having some tough at bats, still a lot of strikeouts. You know, he put 0-for-2 last night with 2 strikeouts. He flails at the plate. He has a hard time finding it. And I don't see the grind. I don't see the attitude that Ramos has, and Ramos kind of exudes that success. But I think Luciano and Matos, I think they could be good Major League Baseball players. But Matos, I think when Matos becomes that guy, I think he's a .270 hitter. I think he's 15 jacks a year.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's serviceable defense. I think he's a fourth outfielder. I just don't see him as like, hey, he grasped and now he's Juan Soto, or he's, you know, some other great baseball player in the outfield. I don't even think he's going to be at Ramos level. So I don't know. Is he a package deal in the offseason?
So what do you want to see the Giants get out of him for the rest of the season?
If he gets a lot of at bats, I want to see solid contact. I'm not too worried about the power or anything else. I just want to see plate discipline. That's where it all starts with Matos. Because defensively, he's going to be who he is. He's good. I mean, he's made some great plays in the outfield. A couple robbed home runs. You know, he does what he does. But I want to see the plate discipline. I want to see taking more bad pitches, getting on base more often. But we'll see. I mean, you know, that's the hard thing is if you don't have the plate discipline, it's kind of strikeout or nothing with Luis Matos.
Mm-hmm.
He was getting a lot of good pitches to hit early when he first came up because pitchers didn't know who he was. And now they know he's a chaser. And so they don't have to throw anything on the plate to Matos, and they're going to get him out.
All right, last one. Grant McCray, who you already talked about.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at his numbers. And he is hitting, oh gosh, now I lost it. I went to Matos. Grant McCray is hitting in 55 ABs, .236 with a .276 on base. He's got the 3 jacks. He's got 2 stolen bases. Here's what I want to see. I want to see the guy lay down some like drag bunts.
Old school baseball.
I want to see how fast he is. I want to see him hit some ground balls up the middle and like beat them out for hits.
Yeah.
I want to see some old like Brett Butler style hitting from him because he's got the speed. He comes from the left side. He should be getting on base. I don't really care if he hits a single home run for the rest of the season. I want to see him you know, I want to see them put him at leadoff and go, okay, you're a leadoff hitter. Like, your whole job is to get on base, whether it's walk, whether it's bunt, whether it's ground ball to the into the Tony Gwynn hole, whether it's, you know, a line drive up the middle. Take advantage of Oracle Park,
SBC.
Take advantage of the gaps out there. You know, turn a double into a triple, turn a triple into a inside the park home run, because he's got dynamic athleticism, right? Like, he's an absolute great athlete. So I would like to see that. I just don't know that that is who he is as a baseball player quite yet. But it would be fun to see some of that. Otherwise, just get this guy some ABs, please. Just get him in the lineup. Get him at the top of the lineup. Yeah. Let's figure out, you know, let's get him the experience again, same like Luciano. Get him the reps. Let's get data on these guys. We know that Jung-Hoo Lee is going to be up. He's going to be healthy next year. But what if Grant McRae is a better center fielder than Jung-Hoo Lee is? Maybe Jung-Hoo Lee is a dynamic left fielder, and then we push Ramos to right. Like, there's these different things.
Swap
that you
those
could do.
Two. I don't think I want to see Ramos.
You don't want to see Ramos in right?
No, I don't.
yeah. Maybe Jung-Hoo Lee just has the entire winter and spring to figure out that whole right field area in Oracle.
If anybody can do it, I think he can. He just gets together with Yaz and says, show me every nook and cranny of this right field. Because nobody has played. I mean, Penn's played right field great, but I don't think anybody's played right field better than Yaz that we've seen so far.
Yeah.
Not Ellis Burks. It was definitely Yaz. But what I want to do next week is I want to put a potential wish list 2025 lineup together, because I'll just give you the first two as a teaser. I would love to see Jung-Hoo move down to number two, Grant McRae number one, and do exactly what you said. Bring that 1986 lineup mentality back, where you've got a guy who can get on base and drive you absolutely nuts in Grant McRae, who plays right field or center field. And then you've got Jung-Hoo Lee, who does not strike out, who makes contact, who puts the ball in play. And then you've got two guys at the top of the lineup that can cause some problems. So that's what I, you know, that's what I like to see. That's my teaser for my wish list. I'm going to look at the free agents also. So I'm going to put together my 2025 lineup wish list for next week. That's what I want to do.
All right. Nice little tease for next Tuesday's show.
Yeah,
that we'll do. So this was kind of fun. It was a little bit of an exercise in who is the younger kind of player who we need more information on. And, you know, I'm sure Conforto will be fine taking every other game. Like, he's like, yeah, I'm my shoulder kind of hurts sometimes, so I'm hanging out, you know. So let's figure out who these young guys are. They did it with Tyro. They were like, hey, Tyro, thanks, but you're done here. And so I don't know why they would not do that with Conforto as well. So we'll see.
Conforto's got 15 home runs, 112 games, WRC plus of 106. That's enough for a good contract next year. You're good, sir. Thank you for your service. Have a seat.
Yeah. That these players use us to set up their next contract. Sometimes it works. Mm. Sometimes it doesn't. Worked well for Gausman and Rodon. We'll see if it works well for Conforto. All right. Shout out to Haruko, who was in the chat and who was lambasting the team. He was unhappy with everyone. Yes. I need to
burn it all down and start over again.
We need to ask Haruko, who do you like on this team? Who is someone who you believe can actually be a good player for this team? Maybe
I know he likes Matos.
Yeah, he wants to see Matos get a chance.
Yeah.
He's not a big Chapman guy.
No. He wants Ellis Burks back.
Really, who Haruko is he just hates Farhan no matter what.
Oh, and I get that. Hey, I get the Farhan hate. He just wants all the young guys, is what he says. But again, I just showed you the strikeout rates. I don't want to watch a strikeout every third at bat or
tough.
Strikeout every, you know, second at bat. But yeah,
very tough. All right. We'll be back next week in 6 days. So for Brad, I'm Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
Peace.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at one-third of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. Grammarly is the right AI assistant for your team. With top-tier security credentials and 15 years of experience in responsible AI, Grammarly is how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. See why 70,000 teams trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise.